Tonight, in a very special wrestling nostalgia show, we take a look at Luke Harper and his top moments in WWE. Let's get it all started right now.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome everybody to the WWE Podcast on this Wrestling Nostalgia Night. In a Nostalgia Night that is much different than usual, as we all know, with the passing of John Huber, known to WWE fans as Luke Harper, and to AEW fans as Brody Lee, and as we speak right now, there is a really, really nice tribute show to Brody Lee, John Huber, on AEW Dynamite going on right now. And to me, this is a show that is exactly what it should be, celebrating the life of John and his accomplishments and his impacts. And the one thing that you hear over and over and over again is how just great of a human being he was. Not necessarily the impact he had on the business, although very significant. The one thing you just consistently hear repeated over and over is how much his family meant to him, and I mean, his wife and his kids, and I mean, it's just a constant theme no matter who you hear talk about him, and that's a pretty rare thing. And so certainly, if you want to feel your eyes sweat, so to speak, watch the 10 bell salute, and his kids are right up in front, and his wife, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I don't care if you love pro wrestling or hate it. It just tugs at your heart. I mean, it's hard. So AEW is doing what WWE should have done and paying tribute to John Huber, and not just throwing a graphic up doing the bare minimum. I understand that he's not a part of WWE any longer and hasn't been for some time. But that to me is, I don't want to say spiteful, but I don't know. It's like they were a little bit kind of just doing what they had to rather than what they wanted to. At least Vince McMahon. I mean, I don't know who else to point to because it's not the wrestlers. So, but in AEW, it's exactly what it should have been, right? The 10 bell salute. The tributes throughout the match, the video packages throughout the match about, you know, John Moxley talking about him and what it meant to him. And really, he said he couldn't find words, you know, for the first time in front of a camera. And, you know, that, yeah, everyone talks about the quality of the person he was. And that's just the constant theme. And so it's tough. 41 years old, and I don't know the specifics beyond what everyone else does about the quote lung issue. You know, I don't know. I don't know what could possibly come up. Maybe a clot, a blood clot, a collapsed lung. I don't know. I don't know. Cancer. I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing it just crap at the wall, seeing what sticks. I don't know. But nonetheless, we are here tonight too. Also discuss the top moments of John Huber as Luke Harper in WWE. Now, we know that he was best known in AEW as Brody Lee, but this is a WWE podcast, and therefore we're focusing on Luke Harper in WWE, where he spent most of his professional career, and where he made the biggest name for himself was in WWE. So we're going to be focusing on that, and these aren't exactly like a top five or anything. It's just kind of a mishmash of some of the top moments in his career. As we here on the WWE podcast pay a little bit of a tribute to him and realize the importance and the impact that he did have on the business, because I think it's bigger than we realize, and some of the moments he had were bigger than we realize when he was in WWE as in the Wyatt family when he debuted. You know, John Cena was kind of still the guy, and Luke Harper never really seemed to get to that upper tier and would scratch at it, sniff at it, and Vince would pull him back down into the family or make him a perennial tag team partner to Eric Rowan or whatever. And it just never seemed that they saw maybe what fans saw in him. And of course, hindsight is all 2020. And, you know, he is and has been one of the most underrated wrestlers, perceived underrated wrestlers. And this isn't just because he died and we're all like, oh, they should have given him an opportunity. This is just what has been going on for his entire WWE career and up until he left. So we'll be going through some of the top moments in just a minute. Again, not a top five, just some of the bigger moments. And that'll be a lot of fun. But first, guys, welcome to the WWE podcast here that is featured on Apple, Spreaker, and everywhere that you can listen to podcasts. So we're here about seven times, sometimes eight times a week, and cover everything from Raw to SmackDown to highs and lows to nostalgia to rivalries and everything in between. Tonight is the nostalgia show, but then I'm also going to be back-to-back recording the mailbag show, and I've got a couple of email questions. I've got some of your voicemails, of course, and that'll be dropping around the same time this show is. So check your feed or refresh your feed as we do the mailbag show and answer your questions and listen to your comments and in real time. So that's a whole bunch of fun. In addition, the NXT review show is coming tomorrow as well. So it's going to be a blast as we cover NXT and get in rolling into the Rumble, guys. And we finally switch into 2021. That is a blessing. And, you know, I know that it's easy to say, oh, get me out of 2020. But who the hell knows what 2021 is going to bring, right? Like, we're all so desperate to get to 2021, as if flipping the calendar is going to make COVID instantly go away, right? As if COVID and all of the unrest politically, everything's just going to disappear January 1st. I know we're all so desperate to turn the calendar, but it's really a formality rather than an actual function of fixing things. You know, if does that make sense? I mean, it's really symbolic of turning the calendar rather than actually anything changing. I know that it'll all make us feel better that, oh, we can say, oh, good, we're in 2021. But COVID's going to still be around, right? I mean, we could still have riots and protests and who the hell else knows in 2021. Like, I don't know why we're all rushing into this and just thinking everything's going to go away when the ball drops. I don't know. It's easy to say, and I've said it here on my show, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's great. It's just more of a symbolic change than an actual change. You know, COVID doesn't look at this and go, oh man, I've only got 24 more hours until we're gone. It's not the case. So, oh Lord. But I know what it means. It's kind of makes people feel better that 2020 is over. One of the most perceived worst years in modern history, with good reason. But certainly everything's going to change, or nothing's going to change from December 31st to January 1st. I can almost guarantee that everything will, when you go to sleep on New Year's Eve, things will be the exact same when you wake up. I mean, outside of a catastrophic second coming of Christ, I mean, like, I don't think anything is really going to be that much different. But that's my little bit of a rant for when people just are dying to get to 2021, as if changing the calendar is going to instantly change everything. Right? That's not how life works. So, but nonetheless, I am looking forward to 2021, you know, because throughout the 2021 year, we are probably going to get fans back into wrestling arenas, because they're already trying to plan for maybe a summertime return for fans to baseball stadiums and football, starting obviously next fall, but they're already starting to talk and discuss about that. And that's going to be certainly a welcome sight. I know, the cardboard cutouts weren't cutting it for me. See what I did there? I appreciate the pumped in noise, but it's not authentic and all that kind of thing. So the Thunderdome can go bye-bye in 2021, I hope, forever. And if you get the vaccine, great. Move on with your life. You know, we can all, whether you love the vaccine or are concerned about the vaccine, don't want the vaccine, you think it has microchips, it's going to turn you into a zombie like, what was it, that movie with Will Smith? I Am Legend? Whatever it may be. I think that it's certainly going to put a dent in the COVID scare and return us to normal. I mean, people are also saying, well, just because you take the vaccine doesn't mean you don't have to socially distance and mask. Well, then what the hell's the point of the vaccine? I don't understand that logic. I don't get it. Somebody explained it to me. Maybe there's a lag period when you get the vaccine to when we can just start returning to normal. I don't know. I don't understand that. If you've gotten the vaccine and you're within the period of it becoming effective in your system, why do I have to wear a mask? Why do I have to socially distance? I'm the one who's vaccinated and I'm not carrying it to distribute to somebody else. Anyway, okay, there's my rant on something completely unrelated to wrestling nostalgia, but here we are. We're looking at the fun times in Harper's career. And I will say the one silver lining, the one, if you're looking for one, in this just horrific loss that, yes, the wrestling community is devastated, his friends, his coworkers, colleagues, everyone he's worked with in the wrestling community, certainly devastated. But, I mean, his family are the ones that are hurting the most, and his kids, my God, it's hard to even look at them. But the one silver lining, you can bet AEW has more eyeballs on it than it ever has. If they don't push over a million views this week, I'll be shocked. I would say they could go, 1.2, 1.3. I mean, they probably will get a pretty darn big spike in ratings this coming week, tonight. And it'll be interesting to see what that number is. So that is the one positive out of all of this just garbage that has happened, just nonsensical tragedy has happened. But that is the one thing. Maybe these viewers stick around and maybe it does help AEW get to that next level. I mean, who knows? Maybe it gets people tuned in and suddenly they're consistent fans and they stick around for the product for the long haul. You don't know. So that is the one thing. Okay. Luke Harper, guys. Now, Luke Harper made his debut with the Wyatt family on July 8th, 2013. My goodness, doesn't that seem like an eternity ago? I don't know why it feels so long ago. July 8th, 2013, so over seven and a half years ago, the Wyatt family debuted and they attacked Kane. And I was listening to the crowd reaction on this. It's not exactly a deafening roar for this group. And there had been trailers and teasers in the weeks leading up to their debut. And so Eric Rowan and Luke Harper are the ones who came out and attacked Kane and put him down to establish themselves as a formidable group. And so they made an impact right away. And you knew that Bray Wyatt was going to be kind of the ringleader. You knew that he was going to be that guy who was the kind of the head of the snake, so to speak. But Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, if I was going to rank them in terms of careers, I mean, it's pretty easy. Bray Wyatt, number one, Luke Harper, two, and Rowan, three. It's certainly doesn't take a genius to see how the pecking order went in that family. But they continue to wreak havoc in WWE, at times feeling very stale, particularly with Bray Wyatt's continuous backstage promos that were almost the same every week, where he would just say a bunch of mumbo-jumbo riddles that we're all supposed to decode. He's got an Edison light bulb above his head. It's kind of a smoky backstage area or wherever he is. And maybe Luke Harper says a couple of words, Rowan says a couple of words, but 90% of the promo was Bray Wyatt, and he'd end it with, run, right? And, okay, where are we running to, Bray? Where are we running to? Or follow the buzzards, remember that? But follow the buzzards, but Luke Harper always had that, those eyes of his were money. And WWE knew it. I think I've brought this up before, but they knew it. Luke Harper knew it. He had that faraway look in his eye of lights are on, but nobody's home. That is a really, really quality trait to have that you don't see. I challenge anybody to show me a set of eyes in WWE currently on the roster that has a better look in terms of kind of a psychotic, just far out look than Luke Harper's. Doesn't exist. And eyes are so important in a match. They're so underrated. I know I'm talking about eyeballs right now, but when you see a guy that utilizes them in a way to be able to add to a match when he's in pain or when he's feeling it or when he's making a comeback or when someone kicks out and he's able to emote that just through his eyes, man, that's an asset right there. Big asset, because it's very rare. It's very rare, especially at that level. So that was a big deal, I think, for him. And the discus clothesline, as we all know, was one of his trademarks. And he actually beat Dolph Ziggler for, you guessed it, the Intercontinental Championship, which took place on November 17th, 2014. So, yeah, let's get to a little bit of audio from that match.
Dolph Ziggler, look at this.
Oh, that was a moment that probably, I mean, that was easily the biggest championship he's won in his career, bar none. I mean, you could say the AEW, the TNT championship, but in WWE, which is the big leagues as it stands right now, I mean, and AEW is doing a nice job holding their own and are going to be a formidable force moving forward. No question. I'm not disrespecting AEW at all, but listen, the Intercontinental Championship has more lineage than any championship in the history of WWE. I mean, it supersedes all championships. So that is the most prestigious title. A lot of people believe that. It's the workhorse title. And Brody Lee, Luke Harper, I should say, won it against Dolph Ziggler that night. And the fans reacted pretty surprisingly mildly cheering him. You didn't hear a whole lot of boos. Didn't hear a whole lot of cheers. Just kind of like, whoa, we just saw a title change for the Intercontinental Championship. And that was something that didn't happen that often back in the mid-2000s, where you'd had to have a title change on Raw. Now it seems to happen once every couple of weeks, where we have not only a championship match, but we also have a championship change. I mean, look no further than Drew McIntyre winning the Intercontinental or winning the WWE Championship from Randy Orton about a month ago. So this was a big deal for him to win the Intercontinental Championship. And you'll hear on commentary, none other than Seth Rollins with his partially bleached, highlighted hair that he had, and J&J Security by his side. Yeah, J&J Security. Remember that? Yep. And then Brock Lesnar destroyed them with a brand new Mustang or something during a match he had with Seth Rollins, or I don't remember. That was brutal. But that's how far back we're talking. Seth Rollins is still wearing the latex with the bleach blonde hair and J&J Security at his side. That's how far back this is. But it was a big win for Luke Harper. I think what also was maybe working against him, not only being a part of a family or a stable or a group or whatever you want to label it as, anytime you're in a stable or a group, obviously the focus isn't always on you. You have to share the spotlight, which by default means you're not going to get as much airtime as you would solo. What I also think, again, beyond that, is his entrance music, solo entrance music, not the Wyatt entrance music, not the Bray Wyatt entrance music, wasn't that good. It was very just kind of country, just kind of banjo. Not, I don't know if banjo is the right word, but not very engaging either way. It doesn't make you want to cheer. It doesn't make you want to boo. It's just kind of music. It's just entrance music. That's not what you want. As a star in WWE, you want to be able to react to the music. You want to have an emotional reaction to music. And Luke Harper's music did not do that at all. So I think that also kind of hurt him, on top of the fact that they never really gave him promo time. And when they did, it was one-liners backstage. When can you tell me, anybody, point to a time to when Luke Harper was given the mic to cut a... and given an opportunity to cut a really good promo in front of the hard camera? I mean, I can't remember. Maybe with Eric Rowan, but I don't remember on his own any blockbuster promos. But I also don't remember him given a lot of opportunity where maybe he fell on his face. That never happened. So I think the lack of promo opportunity, when you take that out of a guy's hand, the ability to speak and give him opportunities to speak, that really handcuffs the talent big time. because there's only so much you can show in the ring. And I think that also was a mitigating factor in the success of Luke Harper and how far he was able to go in WWE because of several factors, including being only in a group, always being in a part of a tag team, not having the, or not maybe getting the trust or the opportunity for whatever reason to show what he can do on the mic and give an opportunity to do it. And of course, his entrance music, as I said. So there's some mitigating factors right there that I can point to for some of the reasons why maybe he wasn't at the level many of us thought he could be or should be. He also had that white wife beater that was sweat-stained right in the middle of its chest that, I mean, I don't know. I know what they were going for, kind of swamp, country, just total hillbilly, the antithesis of what Vince McMahon wants in a star. I don't know. His attire wasn't, I don't know. It was just kind of like gross, right? It was gross. You know, you think the guy would smell. Like, I don't know if he actually did, probably not. But he looked like it. He looked like a dude that just woke up, hungover, maybe from drinking a bunch of beer the previous night, threw on his sweat-stained wife beater and, you know, kicked the door out of his trailer to go to work. Like, that's what I envision. And I don't know. Beyond the fact that, too, Luke Harper, didn't have the most muscled physique. And while I don't care about that, and most fans don't care about that, because personality and in-ring ability and promo ability supersede what you look like, I think, and has been proven time after time, Vince is still and will forever be enamored with big-muscled, overgrown men that are alpha males, that he can't let go of. That is what his ideal wrestler is, his ideal performer, as he would say, is. And I think that also worked against Luke Harper, the way he looked. I really do. So anyway, those are just some of the reasons, some of the feedback I wanted to give you guys, some of the reasons why maybe WWE didn't push him to the level he should have been at. And we never felt like he got a fair shake in WWE. So, okay, let's move on to another moment in Luke Harper's career in WWE. And this particular moment happened much more recently at WrestleMania 34 on April 8th, 2018, in a SmackDown Tag Team Championship match with The New Day. At this time, he was part of the Bludgeon Brothers with none other than, of course, Eric Rowan, because he is forever tied at the hip with Eric Rowan. And by the way, I'm not going to spoil anything, but big AEW return and, well, debut, by the way. I'll leave it at that. So, okay, let's get to some of the audio from this match, really the finish of the match, and take a listen.
That's incredibly destructive.
Just tossed Kingston.
And Harper's directed traffic here. Rowan's going to feed Kofi to Harper on the top rope.
No. Off the top with the powerbomb. Cover. And we have new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Here are your winners in the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. The Bludgeon Brothers.
The reckoning was swift. It was brutal, but the era of the Bludgeon Brothers has begun.
Wow. So I remember that, but I don't. Again, the fans they didn't boo. Like, when you listen to the Bludgeon Brothers' reaction, and Luke Harper specifically, you never heard the crowd really boo Luke Harper. At this time, the New Day had been around still for 5 years. I mean, the New Day just, I feel like they've been around since the beginning of time, but the reaction was never negative for Luke Harper. It was always just kind of indifferent, but in a way that felt like, hey, we don't want to boo this guy, so we're not going to react when he does bad things, but can you turn him babyface so we can learn to love him? Because I felt like the fans wanted a reason to really, really, really rally behind him, and WWE wouldn't ever seriously give that a consideration. And so the fans just were like, we don't want to boo him. We don't want to boo him. And we recognize how good he is, but there wasn't that definitive storyline that the fans were like a Daniel Bryan storyline or a Kofi Kingston story. There wasn't that, or Rey Mysterio back in 2007. I mean, there wasn't that big push from fans that there was behind those other guys. And I don't know why that is. They were looking for an opening. They were looking for a reason to start rallying. But nonetheless, a huge win. Winning the tag team titles at WrestleMania. I mean, you're winning a championship at WrestleMania. Yeah, it's not the main event for the top belt, but you're still in the elite of the elite. To be on WrestleMania number one, to be in a championship match number two, and number three, win that championship match at WrestleMania, it's pretty damn big, I would say. So I bet you forgot about that moment. I know I did. Okay, let's get to another moment from Luke Harper's WWE career. And this time we're going all the way back to the very beginning when Luke Harper debuted on NXT. So I told you guys I'm jumping all over the place. But he debuted in NXT on November 7th, 2012. So just over 8 years ago, Luke Harper debuted in what was a match with Jason Jordan, who had an afro at the time. My God, it looks hilarious. So take a listen to this. Again, kind of quiet. Really, William Regal on commentary. But always fun to go back to see when they first made their appearance. So let's take a listen to that.
This is getting weirder by the second.
What is happening? What is going on?
And who on earth is that?
Jason Jordan battling.
Certainly not Aiden English, is it?
Who is that? Jason Jordan standing in and taking this challenge. He was expecting to square off with Aiden English.
Well, we haven't seen Bray Wyatt in some time.
Oh my goodness.
One of the most controversial figures on NXT, and now apparently, Bray Wyatt, he said he wasn't alone. And this man here apparently fighting Bray Wyatt's fight.
Well, I have no idea who this young man is, but he looks ferocious. He obviously knows what he's doing. I mean, he's just mauling Jason Jordan. And Jason Jordan is an incredible athlete. Jason Jordan's got a huge future here in NXT and in the WWE. But I think he's somewhat mesmerized by it. He's not sure of what, and I'm not sure what's going on at the moment.
Well, exactly. Jason Jordan's in the same state as the rest of us. He didn't expect this man to come down to the ring. He didn't expect Bray Wyatt to come out and say what he said. So Jason Jordan is really thrown off his game.
Surprised or not, Jason Jordan battling.
So you listen here. I mean, it's Byron Saxton and William Regal on commentary back in 2012. I don't remember this moment. I don't remember watching it live. But it's always fun, again, to go back and have them say, who is this guy? What are they doing? I don't know anything, right? I mean, I do that frequently with John Cena's debut when he faced Kurt Angle. And there's no crowd reaction for John Cena. It's just weird. It's funny. And it's just fun to be able to go back in the time capsule and bring yourself to the moment when people had no idea who these guys were. And there's always a starting point for everybody. There's always a point where no one knows who the hell you are. And in this case, Bray Wyatt was talking about how he was not alone that night, and Luke Harper immediately aligned himself with Bray Wyatt, so against Jason Jordan. And that was the start of the Luke Harper career. And I will say this, William Regal on commentary, I love it. I think William Regal on commentary, that would be a weekly thing for me. I would tune in just to hear that. William Regal is so talented on the mic, underrated. I know this is not a nostalgia about William Regal, but he has done some brilliant heel mic work that would make you cringe in a way that is great heel heat. Not to cheer him, because he's good, but you would legitimately want to see someone beat the holy hell out of him. He was just so underrated during the Attitude Era because he was overshadowed by so many other big, big, big stars. But if he was planted in today's WWE, or even after all the mega stars left, I think he could have been the top heel in the company. He's that good. But again, bad timing for him. He was on the roster at a time when it was an all-star roster. If you remember, one of the funniest things with William Regal was when Stone Cold returned for his neck surgery in late September of 2000. And William Regal was out there to recite Hamlet in its entirety. and he's starting to read Hamlet. He gets a few sentences through, and Austin comes out, doesn't say a word, not a single word, immediately stuns William Regal, and he just leaves the ring and just walks back up the ramp. No emotion, nothing said, just stunner and leave. It was one of the funniest moments in William Regal's career. And his facials, I mean, seriously, I know I've never really talked about William Regal on this show. William Regal is so talented at being a heel. I see why they've made him a coach. He is just ultra brilliant in terms of psychology. Psychology is where he has got it nailed. You don't believe me? Go watch some old William Regal Attitude Era clips, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So maybe I'll do a nostalgia on him sometime. But there you go. There's Luke Harper's debut in NXT on November 7th, 2012. Good grief. What a even more of an eternity ago. 8 years ago. So, all right. Well, let's get to one final moment here from Luke Harper's career. And I know there are many, many. I know there are many times that he returned and reunited with Bray Wyatt, and there was a reunification of the Wyatt family. I understand all of that. So I don't mean to discard or discredit any other moments in his career. He certainly had many. It's really difficult to dissect a career that was really very long in WWE and underrated. To dissect it all and give all these moments, I'd be here for hours and hours. So with that said, let's get to the final moment that I've selected. Again, many are other ones are worthy, but here's the last one I selected.
Destruction on his own. Luke Harper's return to the fold. No disqualifications. It's all legal. And another iron claw. Eric Rowan has beaten Roman Reigns. Here is your winner, Eric Rowan. This wasn't just a victory. This was a bludgeoning.
Oh, yeah, this is disturbing. This scene of Harper and Rowan back together again.
So that was the most recent of the moments, and that happened on September 15th of 2019 at Clash of Champions, right before all the absolute insanity hit, a few months before it, of course. And that's when I think he got his best reaction, and they could have really done something there, and they put him in again, back with the Bludgeon Brothers, back with Eric Rowan. I believe this was the time when Eric Rowan was revealed as the attacker on Roman Reigns. If you remember that incessant replay of the boxes or the I don't know what it was, the scaffolding falling over on Roman Reigns backstage on SmackDown. How many times does that replay happen? Somebody should count. It's got to be over 100. It was insane how many times they replayed that stupid clip of the whodunit. And it came out to be Eric Rowan, which was very disappointing, I'll be honest. Look, Eric Rowan is a guy that has a nice look. He's a big dude. He's got a big orange beard. Not a great promo. Okay in the ring. I don't think he ever really was at the level of Luke Harper. I never felt that he was at Luke Harper's level. And Luke Harper was clearly the star of that group. There's always a star of a group. Look at any group. There's always a bigger star in the group. There are very rarely a tag team in which you have equal star power from both members. Very rare. So that being said, we get that, again, terrible storyline. And Luke Harper gets a big pop. And they just, again, throw him back in the group. And it, to me, it was a missed opportunity. A big missed opportunity for WWE, who probably thought, "Ah, well, it's just because of return, right? It's just because of the return, and they're not going to do, you know, this is just kind of the one-time thing. And once the fans get to see him a couple of weeks, it'll be back to the lukewarm reaction that he's been getting, right? They probably chalked it up to that. And, I mean, we saw evidence of that. He didn't really go anywhere beyond the Bludgeon Brothers and then was released and went to AEW under the Brody Lee name on March 18th of 2020. He revealed himself as the Exalted One, the leader of the Dark Order. So, which was to me more appropriate for who he was. And you saw him really shine in AEW. If you didn't see his promos in AEW, that's Luke Harper. Like, that's Luke Harper we should have seen. And not the hillbilly, southern drawl type of swamp group that was, he kind of got lost in at times. So it was, look, his career in WWE, if someone was to ask me, is this a group or is his singles career Hall of Fame worthy? I would say no. And I'm not, you know, I'm taking the emotional factor out. Okay. You know, I know that when we're all emotional and we lose somebody, we feel like they should be exalted, so to speak, pun intended, I guess, that they should be put on a pedestal and you remember only the good stuff. But I don't think his singles career is worthy of Hall of Fame. That said, I absolutely believe that the Wyatt family is worthy of Hall of Fame as a group. So whenever they are inducted one day, whenever the Wyatt family as a group are inducted, and they eventually will be, then I think what will happen is Bray Wyatt will accept the award, and he'll be Hall of Fame worthy too. I mean, you already see that written on the wall, that Bray Wyatt's a future Hall of Famer. But I think that what will happen is his sons will accept the award on his behalf as part of the Wyatt family group. I really believe that. And man, oh man, if you want a good tearjerker, go watch the beginning of AEW Dynamite with the 10 bell salute and his son standing there. Whew. That you're not human if you don't feel something there. Like, I don't know what you are, but it's a really tough one to watch. So I've warned you. Okay. You heard it here first. I have given you the official warning that if you don't feel like, you don't feel like being saddened or tearing up, then do not watch the beginning of AEW. I mean, it's tough, but I'm sure they're getting record ratings, and I hope they do. I'm sure that's, you know what? I'm sure that's what he would have wanted. Just as Paul Bearer was exposed in the storyline with CM Punk, you know, Undertaker confirmed that's what Paul Bearer would have wanted. He would have loved it. And so if that's a small silver lining for whatever the hell that's worth, then it's something. It's something for the company to hang its hat on. It's something that maybe they can build on. Not that I'm saying monetize his death, but to retain the audience that is now the new audience, the new people watching that are tuning in, to maybe hang on to them and continue to build AEW. I hope that AEW is as successful as WWE someday. I don't want either one to put anyone out of business. That's not, you know, I don't want that because it really limits where men and women can go to work. That's ultimately what it's about. Even as a fan, I care about that. Like I understand that if there's one place to go and one place to go only to make real money, that's tough because then they have ultimate control. If you're in WWE and you're like, this place sucks, I want to go somewhere else. I know I could succeed in AEW. It's called competition. They're no longer the big man on campus. You have competition. You have that up and coming star, so to speak, in AEW. So I don't want anyone to think just because this is the WWE podcast that I have anything against AEW. I hope they are massively successful. Massively. I have nothing against it. I'm not, you have to pick one or the other. No. We all love professional wrestling. We all love it. That would be me like saying, if I love horror movies, which means you should hate comedy movies. What? Why? Right? It's, if it's not your flavor, there's other genres out there. So I'm all for AEW success. And again, I just want to do a little bit of a tribute here to Brody Lee, i.e. Luke Harper in WWE. That's really where I wanted to focus. Give you guys a little bit of audio and share that with you. And hopefully you guys had fun. And I don't mean this to be a downer of a show at all. I mean, certainly we can all look at the good times with Luke Harper. And you can remember those, and you can go watch on the network, you can go watch on YouTube, and listen to and watch him in action. And it's Wednesday, so you know what that means. Take care, guys. I'll talk to you next time.